All right, there was a good Erev Shabbos. Let's begin. Does everybody have a sheet? Everybody has sheets? So tonight, I want to do with you, I want to get back in Eretz Hashem a little bit to the Likutei Maharan. We're going to get back to the regular order over here in the Sefer. And I want to share with you, I think tonight we're going to do a nice segue from the Likutei Maharan into Kedushas Leib to Rabbi Yitzhak Abradichev. We're going to bring two beautiful pieces together. So tonight we're starting Maimer Dalit in Likutei Maharan. So remember again, as I've said to you in the past, so Likutei Maharan is a collection of Rabbi Nachman's writings. Rabbi Nachman himself did not compile them, but rather again they were compiled by Rabbi Nachman's Talmud, Rabbi Nosson. Now, interestingly enough, the Likutei Maharan doesn't necessarily follow a regular order of things. It doesn't go, I'll say, the Haparshios, doesn't go in any particular order of Pesukim, but rather it's just organized as self-contained ideas. So, for example, in Maimon Darit, he quotes over here from the Pasuk in Shmos, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'Beis Avodim. I am Hashem, your God, who has took you out of Egypt from the house of servitude. So says Rabbi Nachman the following. He says, Kisha Adam Yodea. Well, so you should give an incredible yashikalach to Yona and to Shushi for hosting. Fresh carrots.
Very nice.
Those are from the backyard. It's from the backyard. Right?
That's where he was.
No, Mamish, on Erev Shabbos, the host. It's really yashikalach. So what says, it says Rabbi Nachman, Kisha Adam Yodea. It's actually a very beautiful idea. When a person realizes that all of the events in his life are for good, right? The person realizes that all of the events in his life are for good. Everything that happens in life is for good. Well, so listen to these words. Zos habechina ki me'ein olam haba. So listen to this. It's an incredible thing. You know, we often speak about, again, right? We speak about olam haba. And interestingly enough, in Chassidus, there's a concept of Olam Haba, Ba'olam Haba, and there's a concept of Olam Haba, Ba'olam Hazeh. So let me give you an example of that. So you know, when we finish the Likutei Maharan, at this pace, you know, we'll be shuffling in with our walkers with the tennis balls on the bottom by the time we get to the end of the Sefer. But, you know, Emir Hashem, our next project, good next project would be Kedushas Levi. So Rav Levi Yitzchak, you know, every one of the Hasidic masters had their own unique midah. So see, Rabbi Nachman had many unique midos, but one of the things that Rabbi Nachman was able to accomplish and master was Shviras HaTaiva. He was able to really just go ahead and break. He struggled incredibly with certain taivas, which we'll see, and he was able, mamish, to break apart, to break down those taivas. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak was known for his Avas Yisrael. Levi Yitzchak is known as Sanigorin Shel Yisrael, the defender of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yitzchak could not see anything negative in any Jew. In every, see, we're talking about Mashiach. So if Yehuda's coming to a Hasidus here, mamish, this is So you know, every Hasidic master had their own unique midah. So, for example, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. See, he was known again for Avas Yisrael. So I'll give you an example, just Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Avas Yisrael. So you know, we'll say sometimes people are vested in a particular concept or a particular yidia. And when they're vested in that concept or their yidia, they see everything in life through that lens. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, who was all about Avas Yisrael, saw everything through the lens of Avas Yisrael. So I'll give you an example. So the Gemara says, Dor HaMidbar Ein Lehem Chilik Li'olam Habo. A very damaging Gemara. Generation of the desert, they don't have a portion in the world to come. So again, but Pashtos, why doesn't Dor HaMidbar have a Chilik Li'olam Habo? What would you say? Chayda Egel, Chayda Meraglim, right? There's a lot of bad stuff. So I understand Pashtos Pshat is, they gave up their Olam Habo. So the Rebbe says it's not true. The Rebbe says, you know what it means? You see, you have to understand. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak to go ahead and to see ultimately a statement that says that a Jew doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba, it's impossible for him to be masig that. How could it be that a Jew could be so terrible that he doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba? So what does the Rebbe say? The Rebbe says like this, what's Olam Haba? Olam Haba, the Rambam describes, is Tzadikim Yoshevim. Here, that Olam Haba is sitting around, circling the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're wondering to ourselves, okay, That's just like during the week, right? But the weekends you have off, right? The weekends you could don't do other stuff. That's Olam Haba. So again, obviously for that to actually be something beautiful and rewarding, my Olam Hazeh has to be something that's similar to that or strives to that as well. So the Rebbe says like this. So the Rebbe says, he says the following. He says that Klal Yisrael enjoyed that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in this world. Dor HaMidbar, they saw Kriyas Yamsuf. Dor HaMidbar saw Matan Torah. Dor HaMidbar went ahead and received the man each and every day. Every single day, they enjoyed a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, that's the pshat. Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lehem Chilek Olam Haba, means that the generation of the desert, they don't have to wait for the afterlife to experience Olam Haba. Why? Because they experience the closeness of Olam Haba already in Olam Hazeh. So I'll say, so sometimes for the Hasidically challenged, you get like a little snicker about that. Very, very, very nice. You have to understand something. The Rebbe was not like reaching for a vart. For him, who was kula avas Yisra, kula love of every single Jew, for him, that's the only way he could understand that Gemara. There was no way, there is no other way to accept the idea that a Jew, that Dor HaMidbar doesn't, impossible to be masik such an idea. So why am I sharing this with you? So remember, so what Rabbi Yitzchak points out, is there's the concept of experiencing Olam Haba, even in Olam Hazeh. There's the ability to experience closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and that type of closeness, could almost simulate, or could be exactly like the closeness of the afterlife. So too, Rabbi Nachman says, Rabbi Nachman echoes this same possibility, that there is the ability to have what we call me'im olam haba. There is the ability to have an olam haba existence in this world. So says Rabbi Nachman, so how can you taste olam haba even in this world? See, gives a very, what appears to be a very simple answer. Kisha adam yodea shekol ma'orosav heim l'tovaso. When a person realizes that what? That all, everything that happens in this world is for good, is l'tova. They realize that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything is somehow for my benefit. A life like that is me'in olam haba. Because, boss, I say it one step further. What's olam haba? You know, the Maharal has a Netzach Yisrael. He has a beautiful idea. The Maharal says that, if you can imagine, the Rambam also makes reference to this mashal. You ever see a needle point? Right? So if you look at a needle point, so what happens? If you look at the backside of the needle point, so it's all blotches of thread. It's only when you turn it around do you see the entire coherent image. So the Maharal writes in Netzach Yisrael, he says, Olam Hazeh is like the back of the needle point. Olam Haba is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Neshama, come here, I want to show you something. And he flips around the needle point. And all the different blotches and all the different colors and all the ups and downs somehow form together a beautiful, cohesive life image. So Rabbi Nachman says, it's possible to experience Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. And how is, let me say that again, it's possible to have Olam Haba even while you're living in Olam Hazeh. How? If I believe that everything in my life that happens is A, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and B, L'tova. That means even the difficult things, I realize that they are not without purpose, they are not without meaning, but most of all, they come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They all come from God, and by definition, if it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then some way, somehow, it must be Tov. Kimo Shekasi, because the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ba'ashem HaKal Ahal Al Davar, Be'elokim Ahal Al Davar, V'zos HaBechina HiMe'in Olam Haba. But it's like, you understand like how deep this idea is, right? If you think about it, so what gives us sometimes in life the greatest amount of agony? Right? Something happens, we're not happy with it, we're upset with it, it doesn't go our way, and it takes away from our Simchas HaChaim. But the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves to a certain degree, it's a little bit of a lack of emuna. Why? Because if I complete emuna, then even when life doesn't go my way, what do I say? See, it's not just, right, so Gamzul Tova is a second, but I'll tell you something. You know, we also have, I've said this before, like a skewed view of Gamzul Tova, and I push it, I blame this on Uncle Maishi. Why do I blame it on Uncle Maishi? Because, you know, everybody goes through that stage where they have to listen to those tapes or CDs in their car. So I don't know if they start, I shouldn't blame this on Uncle Maishi. I think it's a general concept. Remember when my kids were little, I think it was him. There's this Gamzul Tova song. So what's the Gamzul Tova song? So it's mamish about this guy who's just a pathetic shlemiel. And what happens? He misses the train. I have to sleep in the bus station. Train's like, Gam Zulatova, right? I missed the plane. I'm not going to... Gam Zulatova. And it's like a shlemiel who can't get his act together. And like the saving grace, I could still sound from, is Gam Zulatova. It's a totally skewed view. Gam Zulatova is a profound theological stance where a person says that despite the fact what's happening to me in life now hurts and is difficult and is overwhelming, and I'd give anything to trade it and not be in this situation, I believe showing that it's A, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first step. A, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because it is become HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning once I accepted the fact that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the corollary to the fact that the events in my life come from God is the belief, Me'ito lo teitzeh hara'a, nothing bad comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if it hurts in the short term, even if it looks negative in the short term, everything that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, the end is tov. Rabbi Nachman says, if I could master this thought in life, then my Olam Hazeh becomes like a Olam Haba. Because that's what Olam Haba is. A closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I realize that everything comes from Him, everything is good from Him, and He always has my back. If I can master that yediya in Olam Hazeh, I literally could live a superb, almost spiritually blissful life. And we'll say, you know, if you know people like this, we all know people like this, people who just have this incredible, unshakable emuna pshuta. And it's amazing that they're able to take everything in life in stride. Right? The Bible says, an important yisod, if when something happens to me in life, I get rattled by it. And this happens to all of us in different ways. So I'll say, let's say something difficult happens in life and I lose it and I say I can't handle it. If we're honest with ourselves, what does that say about me? Right? That I'm lacking emuna. At the end of the day, that's what it is. It's not that I don't have any emuna, chas v'shalom, but my emuna is deficient. My emuna is not solid. Because if emuna was solid, I know it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's for good. And if it's for good, even if it hurts like crazy right now, I know I'm going to be okay. So the Rebbe goes on. He says, Kisha Amru Chazal. Yes.
I mean, you know, there's different levels of hurt. Would Rabbi Nachman say this in Auschwitz?
Rabbi Nachman would say this on every occasion. But remember, when you accept the fact that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it's Latova, it doesn't mean that you have a smile on your face. It doesn't mean that you're saying, Yibon Shem, thank you so much, this is the most wonderful thing in the world. I'm hurting, I'm broken, but I still believe at the end of the day that if this is from you, somehow it's Latova. I might not be able to identify how it's Latova. I might not be able to identify that, but there's some part of me that believes deep down that it's Latova. Again, I never like using the Holocaust as any kind of lemaisa discussion because it's such an aberration. It's such a stand-alone event that I think it's a yotze min haklal. And I don't think it's part of the club. But I will tell you that, you know, and survivors obviously went different ways after the war and had different reactions, and we have no right to stand in judgment of anyone, but it's amazing when you see the emuna and some of them and the way they were able just to be makabel things. Just to be makabel things. Bisimcha. Not bisimcha meaning that this was the Ratzon Habori. I don't understand it, but I have to accept that somehow, some way, this was the Ratzon Hashem, and therefore there must be some element of Tov. What the Tov is, I'll never be able to figure it out. But you know, in Yiddishkeit, you could believe in something even though you can't intellectually process it. I can believe that something is Latova, even if I have absolutely no intellectual way of describing to you why it's Latova.
Why do you say it's some element of Tov? Why is it not completely...
It is completely Tov, but again, I'm just...
Like
I'm,
our perception
correct,
is painful,
correct, so because... it's not sugarcoating it. It's saying that, of course, I agree with you. It's all Latova. But I'm saying from a human perspective, it's difficult to say it's all Latova. I think what Rabbi Nachman would say is, just recognize that some part of it is Latova. It's true. Meaning, if you want to be a purist, even the pain is Latova. Even, so you're saying every part is Latova. But at least from my perspective, I think a starting, you know, I think as a way to package this idea, to try to tell a person that even if you're suffering, every single part of your experience is Latova. even if a person intellectually could be processed, to process that, it's hard to feel that. But if I could start by saying there's part of this that's painful, but so, but there's going to be the tova element, I think that's more processable.
But it would be true, though, that if it came from Hashem, and everything correct.
If,
does,
if,
has to be...
If you want to be a Rabbi Nachman purist, you're absolutely correct. Every part of it is Latova. There is no such thing that comes out of Latova that's not Latova. And again, this is a very hard thing. So, you know, if you plug it into Nechem, it's not everything, even the worst churban. You know, that's like, for example, I mentioned this before, not in this context. You know, Soloveitchik points out, you see, Mamish is like kibbutz kol yosef. We've got Rabbi Nachman, we've got the Rav, we've got everybody, part of the Maharal. So the Rav points out, I'm sorry? It's like fish and meat. Yeah. Right? So the Rav points out, he says in the Kapitel in Tehillim, Mizmor the Yosef, Elokim Bo'u Goyim Benachal Asecha, Timu Asecha Alecha, Somus Shraim Liyim. A song to Asaf, the Gentile nations have entered into your sanctuary and they've destroyed the sanctuary. So again, the Gemara already asks, Mizmor the Asaf, Kinala Asaf mi boile. How can you say a song? This is a kapitel about destruction. How can you say a song to us? It's not a song. It's a kina. It's a dirge. It's a lamentation. So the Rav quotes the Gemara. It's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, because, and the Rav amplifies this, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so there was an existential threat to Klal Yisrael. We deserve destruction. So the Shaila was, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to destroy the Klal? When we saw that shafach hamaso al itzim va'avanin, when we saw that the Ribbono Shel Olam vented the brunt of his fury on sticks and stones, as wonderful and as important as the Beis HaMikdash is, it's a building. Meaning if you have the choice between the Beis HaMikdash and one Jewish life trumps the building, not a shayla. So when we saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu vented his fury ultimately on the building and not on us, Mizmor Yosef. So even, can you imagine this? So even in the midst of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we're singing. We're singing. Why? Because there's Tova, even in the midst of Churban, there's Tova. That's why, again, the Rav points out that what happens at midday on Tisha B'Av, so the morning practice is lessened. Even though what? Even though historically we know the Beis HaMikdash was actually set ablaze in the afternoon of the 9th. You can imagine this inherent contradiction. At the time when the Beis HaMikdash was set ablaze, that's dafka the time when we lessen our morning practices. We get up, we pull back the parochas, we sit on regular shoes. Why? Because Gamzul Tova. Because we recognize again, there's an incredible gift in Churban Beis HaMikdash as well. So let's finish. The Rebbe says, Kishamru Chazal, quotes the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. So the Gemara says, Biyom Hahu Yashem Echad. On that day, the Gemara says, quoting the Pasuk, on that day, a reference to the Messianic era, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one. I frek the Gemara v'hikshu. V'chia idna lav hu echad. I don't say, what do you mean, Bayom Ahu, on that day HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one. Why isn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu one right now as well? So look what the Rebbe writes. V'tirtzu Chazal, quotes the Gemara, HaIdna, listen to how profound this is, HaIdna mevarchin al HaTova HaTova HaMitiv v'al HaRa'a Dayon MS. So says the Gemara, because now in our present, when something good happens, we say Atova Hameitiv. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for doing good and bestowing good. But when something bad happens, we say Dayon HaMS. So we'll say Dayon HaMS means what? Means what? Ribbono Shel Olam, you're the truthful judge. I will say, now what does that statement mean? What does that statement mean?
We don't understand.
You know and I know.
It means, I don't understand it. I accept it. What's lacking from that statement? Simcha, tov, a recognition of almost hatova hamitiv. So meaning, so this is amazing. The says the Gemara, the reality of olam hazeh is, the highest level I could hope to aspire to, says the Gemara, is when dealing with setback and tragedy, hatova hamitiv. That's the best I could be expected to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything you do is just. Because you know, again, when a person suffers loss, sometimes the most instinctive reaction is you feel cheated. You feel cheated. I loved my parents. I loved my spouse. I loved my child. I wanted more time with them. And you took that from me. I feel cheated. It's not fair. Diana Emes, everything you do is correct. But look what the Gemara says. However, Ula Asid, this is amazing. Now when the Gemara says La Asid, La Asid usually means what?
Mashiach.
So Kula Hatov HaNeitiv. Can you imagine that? When Mashiach comes, we'll say, first of all, there are two interesting things. You know, people have, there's a big machlokes that's going to happen in Mashiach. Right? So people have, I often say, like, people have this idea that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be like Lahavdu, what people thought when Obama was elected, right? He's going to pay my bills. He's going to pay my mortgage. He's going to take care of everything. So you know, like Lahavdil. So somehow that conception of Mashiach also. I'm sorry. As Bernie Sanders. So what happens? So people have that conception of Mashiach. Now again, when it comes to Mashiach, it's a fundamental machlokes. The Rambam paskins, Olam kimin hago noig. The world is going to go on like it is today with two dramatic distinctions. And these are very dramatic. Number one, all the nations of the world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's pretty amazing also. And number two, all the nations of the world will respect Jewish sovereignty. I don't know if that includes the UN or not, all the nations of the world. But you hear that? So according to the Rambam, everything else stays the same. Now the reason why that's important, the Gemara seems to back that up, the reason why that's important is because according to that, there will be loss. There will be loss. There'll be difficult circumstances, and there'll still be challenges. Meaning, just because Mashiach comes does not mean that the problems of life go away. But again, understand, if everyone's recognizing HaKadosh Baruch, everyone's like, so it says the Rebbe, says the Gemara, what does happen? In the Yemos HaMashiach, there'll be greater clarity about the Ribono Shel Olam. So there'll still be tragedy. But what bracha will we make for loss? What bracha, says the Gemara? HaTov HaMeitiv. Isn't that amazing? HaTov HaMeitiv. There will no, the bracha of Dayan HaEmes will disappear from our liturgy. It will no longer be a relevant bracha.
Because everyone?
I'm sorry?
Everyone or Jews?
I guess everyone. I don't know. I guess everyone. I don't know if Gentile nations will have an obligation to go ahead and recite brachas. I don't know. But it could be, again, on the most basic level, all of humanity will see in a clearer fashion the relationship between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the events of life. So it's like, can you imagine this? So meaning, what the Gemara is saying is, tragedy and tragic elements of existence will still exist, but the way we relate to them will be fundamentally different. Now we live in a world of Hatova Ameitiv for things that are unequivocally good, and Dayana Emes for things that are challenging. Yemos HaMashiach, Hatova Ameitiv, everything. So what does the Rebbe posit? And I'm going to go to Rabbi Yitzchak. What does the Rebbe posit? So the Rebbe wants to say something amazing. Listen to this. You don't have to wait for Mashiach to come to live a Hatova Ameitiv life. If I work on my emuna enough, and in next week's we'll go on a little bit more, we'll see how the Rebbe cultivates that emuna. But if I work on my emuna enough, then I could reach the level where I believe, A, everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, by definition, everything is good. And I have the ability, says the Rebbe, to erase the bracha of Dayan HaEmes from my personal liturgy and find the strength to say HaTov HaMeitiv on everything that happens in life. And if I reach that level, says the Rebbe, then what? Then I have the ability, literally, to experience my Olam Haba while I'm still living in my Olam Hazeh. So to tie this just to the parsha, and then we'll stop for tonight. But to tie this to the parsha, my watch is always fast. But to tie this to the parsha, so Rav Levi Yitzchak says the following. You know, in the parsha, the Torah says the following. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, right after Lech Lecha, so he says, Tavram Avinu, Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. Va'avarechecha, I'll bless you. Va'agad leshemecha, I'll make your name great. Ve'yei bracha, and you'll be a blessing. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak quotes the Gemara. And the Gemara says, what does it mean, all these terms? Ve'escha l'goy gadol, zesha omer meloki Avram. So what does it mean, I'll make you into a great nation? This is a foreshadow, a reference to the fact that in Tefillah, we'll say Elokei Avram. We'll refer to God as the God of Avraham. Va'avarechecha, I'll bless you. Ze'esh om Elokei Yitzchak. So we'll also refer to you as the God of Yitzchak, meaning that God, that your son, Kadosh Baruch Hu, will also be known as the son of your God. Va'agad, no, I'm sorry, not the son of your God, wrong religion. Right, the God of your son. Va'agad la'shemecha, I'm sorry?
No one corrected you on that.
No, seriously. Either you're very respectful or asleep. I'm not sure. Okay. V'agad la'shemecha. So what happens? I'll make your name great. Zesh omrim Elokei Yaakov. This refers to the fact that in Tefillah, we will say, we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the God of Yaakov. So this is what the Gemara says. Yachol yuchosim kolos. So also remember, so what the Gemara says over
how
here.
How was those three tie-ins?
I'm sorry?
How did you just say obviously Yaakov?
Because the idea is over here, the Torah is using, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving Avraham Avinu three distinct promises. Ve'eschoy l'gol goy gadol, make you to a great nation. Ve'avarechecha v'agad la'shemecha, make your name great. Also, again, make you to a great nation, bless you, make your name great. So what the Gemara is looking for is, show me like the manifestation of those three blessings. So where does the manifestation come from? So Chazal want to say it comes in Tefillah. So I'll bless you, Elokei Avram. I'm sorry, Vavaracha, I'll bless, I'm sorry, Veschala Goy Gadol, Elokei Avram, va'avarecha, I'll bless you, Elokei Yitzchak.
What's blessing and Yitzchak got to do with each other?
I'll bless you because even your future generations will be great.
Okay, fine.
And va'agadlo shemecha, I'll make your name great, that even your grandson's going to be great, Elokei Yaakov.
Right.
So says the Gemara, yachlu yuchos miklos. Remember, normally when it comes to Shemona Esrei, when you have a concluding, a unit that has a starting bracha and a concluding bracha, so the concluding bracha always summarizes that which was stated in the bracha that preceded it. So I would have expected then the bracha of Avos, where you say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, what would have been the concluding bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem, Magin Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, right? Or Elokei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, but include all of the Avos. Therefore, the Gemara says, Yachol Yuchosim Bekulon, I might have thought you're going to end the bracha with all of them, Talmud Lomar, Ve'yei Bracha. Avram, you will be the bracha, Becha Chosmin V'lo Bahem. That we'll end off the bracha just Elokei Avram and not Yitzchak and Yaakov, which poses a very good shaila. So why is that? Why did Chazal choose to end off the bracha with just Elokei Avram and not Elokei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov? And the Rebbe advances something amazing. I'll tell you this outside just because of time. So the Rebbe says, we know that the Avos ultimately represented different midos, right? Avram Avinu represented Chesed. Yitzchak Avinu represents, so Chesed, of course, is kindness, divine love. Yitzchak Avinu is Gevura. So Gevura means austerity, Midas Hadin, strict justice. Yaakov Avinu is known by different midos, either Tiferes or ultimately Emes, depending on different midah. But if you go, the Rebbe goes with Tiferes, and what Tiferes means is the ability to maintain allegiance and fidelity to theological principles, even in the most difficult and grueling of times, like Yaakov Avinu was able to do by Lavan. So says the Rebbe something amazing. When we say the brachos, when we say the bracha of Avos, we're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, you connect to us in one of three ways. Elokei Avram, with Chesed. Elokei Yitzchak, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts towards us with Din. And Elokei Yaakov, that sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations, but the good news is you're always there with us. But says Rebbe something amazing, but it's important to know, at the end of the day, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. At the end of the day, as much as God has different attributes, all of the Ribono Shel Olam's attributes can be boiled down into one central attribute, and that is the Midah of Chesed. The Midah of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us in life is always out of love, is always out of Chesed. The difference is that sometimes the love is clear and obvious, and other times the love is cloaked in layers of difficulty and obscured in different in layers of tragedy and sometimes setback and challenge. But the Chapez life is always Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. And that's what you see. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak is very exciting because Rabbi Levi Yitzchak and Rabbi Nachman are saying the same exact thing. The difference that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak is saying is we reinforce this Yisod within us three times a day in the very first bracha of Shemona Esrei. We accept the fact that we view HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different ways, but we also kind of reinforce the idea that we believe that at the end of the day, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us is out of love, is out of chesed. And to bring that back to Rabbi Nachman, if we're able to reinforce that midah, live with that midah, and ultimately truly use that midah as our guiding light, then we'll have the ability to experience Olam Haba while living in Olam Hazeh. We'll have the ability to, in everything in life, always be able to make the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Hatov V'Hametiv. So we'll stop here for tonight. We'll continue in Mirtz Hashem next week in Maimer Dalid, the second paragraph.